Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Wu.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Radio Dale number 68, the show where we talk about independent musicians and we talk about music and the music industry. But today we actually have a very special episode. We're going to be focusing entirely on country artist Jess Moskaluk. She has a new album out called Light Up the Night. She has a new single at radio right now called Cheap Wine and Cigarettes. And we did an interview with her back just around the time of the CCMAs last year in 2013 about this album. So we're going to play that interview for you. We're going to play you one of the other songs from the album. But before we get to that, since this isn't a traditional episode where we have the round tables and all that kind of stuff, I am going to head out of the Shanti room here where we record the podcast at the Dale Speaking offices. And I'm going to corner Amber because she's sitting at her desk right now typing away. She went to catch Jess at the Dakota last night for her CD release party. And she saw the show, so I'm going to see what she thought of the show. So, as you can hear, she's listening to some awesome 90s music. Amber!
What?
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to ask you about Jess's show. How did Jess's show go at the Dakota last night? That would have been April 16th for people listening to the show right now.
It was really good. I was very proud of her. And I actually professed my love for her on camera without wearing makeup. So that actually means a lot to any, you know, if I do that. But no, it was very good. And she, from the first time I saw Jess up until this time, it was just so neat to not only see her stage presence improve, but to hear the catalog of music really improve. And then also there was contest winners that knew the singles.
Oh, nice.
So it was really, there was two girls that were dancing, and then there was other contest winners, but they were, as soon as she started singing Cheap Wine and Cigarettes and Good Lovin', they all knew the words right away and were singing along. So I kind of sat there and was like, oh, I'm so proud.
Yay.
So yeah, so it was really good.
So it was cool to see Jess go from the early days to this big CD release at the Dakota, yeah. And she did a good show then.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. So should we move on to an interview with her?
Yes.
That we did around the CCMAs last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was just after, and she had a really good time at the CCMAs. I know that. She had a couple of performances she did over the weekend. She even did a lot of press as well and stuff like that. So I think she was, and when we spoke to her, I know the album was still in the world. Well,
yeah, I think it was sort of in that fuzzy area between done and not released kind of thing.
Exactly. So, and it was really cool to be able to hear what she had to say about the Kickstarter campaign and, you know, getting that all going. So.
Yay. So let's move on to the interview with Jess Moskaluk on Radio Dale.
All right. We are sitting here. Amber Bell is sitting next to me as the usual.
Hi.
And we are also in the presence of Jess Moskaluk. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Oh, good.
Oh, I got a question. The first question was back at me. Jess Moskaluk is a Canadian singer, country singer, and has had some great success online and is also releasing an album, which we'll get into talking about later this year.
Yeah. We're very excited that Jess is able to join us today because she is in the middle of some amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Rue mentioned, she's in the middle of getting ready for her new album that's going to be coming out very, very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And also, some events coming up. So for the people that do not know who Jess Moskaluk is, thought we'd just get into a couple of things. We've had the pleasure here at Dale Speaking of working with Jess. Just over a year now.
Yeah.
We've worked three singles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on, we're going to be on our way to a new one. And I had the pleasure of doing a radio tour with Jess last summer.
That was fun.
Last August we went to the road.
You should tell us the dirt on that later.
We went through Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC. And then we had the CCMAs last year. And Jess, maybe if you want to kind of just tell us about, you're releasing your EP last September, what that was like, the Catch Me If You Can EP.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience because it was my first ever release. It was my first any kind of CD, and I had written or co-written every song on it. So being a new writer, that's a pretty cool thing, and that was a really big accomplishment for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those songs all really meant a lot to me, so it was just a major, major learning experience.
Had you always wanted to songwrite when you were sort of starting off singing other people's music? Did you sort of always think, I want to start writing songs for myself?
Honestly, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it was something that I thought that I could try. But singing was always my first love, and I am such an impatient person that I couldn't wait for a song to be finished. I was just like, I'll just take some that are already done so I can start singing.
Okay.
But there were always a couple topics in my mind that I was like, oh, eventually I want to write a song about this. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be a songwriter, but I had always kind of wanted to write songs here and there. But I've definitely become more of a songwriter than I ever expected.
Cool.
Yeah.
So then, kind of looking at the past years, like we said, last September 2012, you released the Catch Me If You Can EP. We've released a couple of singles since then. What has this past year been like, just in the way of learning experiences for you? Is it
every day is a new learning experience, and there's, you know, just constant learning.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just, it's just been a lot of fun, and I've, you know, again with learning, I've just learned to deal with things on a day-to-day basis and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, kind of just planning what needs to come next and learning that I have a team behind me now, which
mm-hmm.
I didn't before, and I don't have to plan my interviews anymore. I just get a text from Amber saying when they are.
Well, it's good. I mean, like, it's with any kind of work that you do, it's one thing, it's easier said than done, but taking something day by day
mm-hmm.
yeah.
is so much better for not only your mind, but your soul
yeah.
and everything, right?
It is, so. And it's strange how hard of a time I actually had with, dividing that work between my team.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had people say, okay, send that to Holly, send that to Amber, let Mike
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
And I just, it was hard for me to learn that because I had been so used to doing it all
everything.
Myself and having control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finally starting to learn that. There are certain things that I still like to do myself because I, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't want to feel lazy or don't
mm-hmm.
want to feel like I'm putting too much work on somebody, but it is a lot less work when you split it all
mm-hmm.
up. And you know, that's, for example, your job is
mm-hmm.
to book my interviews, and you do a great job of it and are a lot more organized than I could be. So learning the system is good.
Well, it's interesting, like, because on this podcast, we're always talking about, you know, advice for independent musicians or people that may not have a team like
yeah.
ourselves or your publicist or whoever behind them. But it's interesting to hear that you going from being an independent musician in the sense of not having the team
yeah.
To now having that. And like you said, trying to release the control and be
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
okay, fine, you do this for me, you do
yeah.
this for me. And I think with anything that would be very difficult
yeah.
even for myself.
Yeah.
And but that's it. If any independent musicians are listening, it's kind of neat to hear that.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I think it was good to start out the way that I did because I sort of have a general understanding of what you do and
mm-hmm.
what everyone else does. And it was good to learn those things first, I think.
Yes.
And you even kind of learn more about them once you release control,
yeah,
I guess.
Actually, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
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 Now, I've heard some indie artists say that, you know, when they were doing everything themselves, it was like 80% business and 20% music. And now that you have a team around you, what are you filling that 80% with that you used to have to devote to setting up interviews and finding places to play and all that kind of stuff?
You know, whether it's just practicing or I'm getting more work, so it's just more interviews. It's not planning the interviews, it's just doing
yeah.
more interviews, and it's not planning the shows, it's just showing up and playing more shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a lot of business, and you know, like Amber and I still have to go back and forth as to when works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have to have I don't have direct contact necessarily with a station, or Travis has been helping me do a lot of shows and stuff, so I don't have direct contact with the talent buyer, but I still have to go back and forth as to how long that show has
yeah.
to be and stuff. So I'm still quite involved in it. It's not so much like, hey Jess, you have to be here at this time and
mm-hmm.
you're gonna play this song.
The pressure's off a bit.
Yeah.
That kind of
yeah.
stuff.
And
yeah.
you still have a lot of creative control over a lot of things, is which I've noticed. And that's good, because that's what you want. You still want to
yeah.
be able to say, this is what I want to do, this is what I prefer.
Yeah.
And still having that sense of what's going on and how to control everything, I think is really good.
Definitely.
And I think that's probably some good advice for people as well, is if you get into the situation where you have the opportunity to have people help you out, maybe not, just don't. Just let them
shovel
go with
it,
and
yeah.
then kind of, you know, you still want to be in control of your destiny and work together with those people, I think.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. And I think that it's, you know, a good point to make sure you trust those people, and whether they're new or have been in the business for a long time,
mm-hmm.
doesn't really matter. You have to trust them as people, because they do have your career in their hands
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take a little while to get to know the people and build that trust, but I think it's really important.
For sure. Now, kind of projecting over to the next year or
mm-hmm.
so. I know it's hard, you can't tell the future,
yeah.
but with the album coming out, what kind of plans do you have coming up?
Well, my whole show, I guess, will be totally revamped, because
oh,
we'll
wow.
be, you know, including different, we'll be hopefully running tracks, and
mm.
we'll be doing all new songs, and the performance aspect will be a little bit different. I'm not sure how yet, but I just know that it'll be a little bit different. So the live show will be a little bit different, a lot more high energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to work on some cardio, because my show's pretty high energy as it is. So.
Some costume changes, maybe?
Yes, definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Quick change, get somebody with that hoop.
Yeah.
Everyone they drop it, they're in a different
clothes. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, different show. There's a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's a different sound, but it's a more, I guess I could say a more refined sound. I'm definitely just finding what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And this album, I love every track on it. And so I really am genuinely so excited to release it. And I haven't felt this way about a couple of the songs ever before. So hopefully my fans and the general public like it too.
Yeah.
But I think that it's really fitting. It's very current, you know.
Mm.
A lot of the tracks I can hear being played on radio, and,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are crossover too, I would say. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the podcasts we've done recently is country music and its crossover potential from country to AC.
Yeah.
But how crossing over from anything else like AC to
country
is
something that does not happen.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
It's happening a little more now. Like
yeah.
Sheryl Crow is doing it. Even
mm-hmm.
Darius Rucker.
Well,
was
Kelly Clarkson.
And the Blowfish, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were able to do it. But even with, so like, we have people that can do the crossover. So like Darius Rucker
person.
Or Dallas Smith.
Like Dallas Smith.
But they're,
yeah, Dallas.
They're flipping right over to country, where you have the singles that are released.
Yes.
To AC, but they want them to work on both.
Right.
Where
mm.
Kelly Clarkson had to add a little banjo here and there, and
yeah.
she did okay with one of her singles.
I think it confuses people, though, because I know, like, I was with my boyfriend's family whenever that CMA's, or CMT's Night to Rock, or whatever that
mm-hmm.
Was on ABC, and his dad just said, well, what is Kelly Clarkson doing on here? And I said, well, you know, she's released a couple singles to country. And he said, well, is she country or is she rock? And I couldn't answer that.
Yeah.
We don't know, because she's just going to release another pop song.
Yeah, and then
so,
another country song, probably.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And when Jess and I were on the road last summer, it was right around the time when Taylor Swift released her the first single off
was
of
it, We Were Never Getting Back Together.
Yeah,
Never Getting Back Together.
And
yeah.
country radio was playing it. They did play it, but it kind of dwindled pretty quickly. But on country,
in
general.
Yeah.
I was happy I was with you at that time,
yeah.
though, because I know that it was so weird to hear it, because some country radio stations at first were like, we're not playing that. That's not country at all. And then as other stations added it, you know, they're then obligated to add it. And
mm-hmm.
so it was just really interesting to
mm-hmm.
actually be able to have a real conversation about the response.
Well, she really bounced around, too, because she did that song with the Civil Wars for the
yeah.
Hunger Games soundtrack,
yeah.
which sounded more folk country than most
right.
country that you would hear. So she was on like pop country
mm-hmm.
and doing the Civil War style.
She's always kind of bounced around, because
yeah.
even if you listen to like Mean, that's kind of folkish country, but then I think they also did like a popper version of it.
Yeah.
So
I think she's at the point where she can do whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just at some point people are going to be like, be loyal to something.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
Is as an artist, you can do whatever, but at some point, someone's going to
yeah.
be like, hey,
mm-hmm. what are you?
Yeah, exactly. So, because that's what society wants to do. They want to peg you one specific thing, right?
Which honestly is a little bit unfortunate because I will always be country, and my first love has always been country. That's, my voice sounds country. But I've always loved to sing a rock song here or there, mm-hmm. or even R&B and that kind of thing. And so as an artist and being a creative person, you have a creative mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to follow one specific track, and you're always kind of wondering, well, what if I did the pop route, and what if I did that? So I kind of sympathize with Taylor a little bit, to be honest, because mm-hmm. why can't she do a pop song if she wants to do a pop song? Is there a law that says she can't?
Exactly.
Is she offending anybody by not doing country 100% of the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly it. Like, as music fans, we complain that someone's album sounds exactly like their last album.
Yeah.
As a music fan, we'll complain as soon as they do an R&B album when they're normally a rock artist.
Exactly.
You know, so you can never win as an artist, and that's what...
Ease up on us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Take it easy. just have a drink, listen to music, and enjoy it.
Oh,
shut up.
God.
but it's an interesting thing, just kind of talking about her. And like I said, we were on the road, and we had the opportunity to talk to programmers about that stuff.
Mm.
And
yeah.
And then I guess I kind of just want to jump into as well, like, you do a lot of traveling.
Yes.
Which I've learned trying to schedule interviews with you.
Yeah.
You're back
what
and forth.
What time zone will you be in?
Yeah, please just tell me.
Now.
Back and forth a lot to LA, and I guess just quick comment about, like, your social media. As a Canadian country artists, you really just kind of kick a lot of other people in the butt in the sense of how what you do online and how successful you are at it, your social circle you have around you on your social media sites. So I guess that's where the traveling comes in, because you were doing some really cool stuff. You had some really cool opportunities. I'm just curious if maybe you could kind of let people know how you were able to do that, in the sense of, you know, how you came about.
Yeah.
Recording your videos and everything.
That was one of the hardest things. It's not something that I gave up, because I do still run all my own social media.
Yeah.
But it's one of the hardest things that I've had to let other people have an opinion or suggestions or say in it, because that has always been my baby. That was the root of how my whole career started. It's how Mike Denny found me, how I got signed to MDM. And we still, you know, you guys at Dale Speaking still utilize that.
Oh, yeah.
and people talk about it in interviews all the time. So that one I worked very hard on. I started when I was about, I'm 23 now, and I started when I was about 18 or 19, I guess, ish, around there.
Mm.
So I've been doing it for years, and I started working with Tyler Ward, who is an extremely successful YouTube artist, probably one of the top 10
mm-hmm.
most viewed. That's not a fact, that's a guess.
Yeah.
But he really was able to take me under his wing, and one of the different things that he did that a lot of YouTube artists don't do is that I actually didn't start doing covers. The first two songs I ever released to YouTube were two songs that I had released to radio, Amen Hallelujah and Catch Me If You Can.
Mm-hmm.
They got a couple hundred thousand views. I actually don't know what the count is on them right now, but they did really well. And, you know, I actually had radio people ask me when I was going to release Amen Hallelujah. So that's when I released my first single, was when radio had actually asked for it. So a lot of things in my career have kind of been backwards. And I think that social media is one of those things, too, because a lot of people develop a career or, you know, sign with a label and that kind of thing, and then say, oh, I need to now have a Facebook page, and I need to have a Twitter account, and I
mm-hmm.
need to get a YouTube page and all this. But I did everything backwards, typical me. But so, and from there you just kind of keep working, and an important thing to do is collaborate with other artists, because it's a really good way to get yourself out there. So
mm-hmm.
if I work with Jake Coco a lot, Corey Gray, Madeline Bailey, they all have large fan bases as well. And we have a lot of our fan bases are the same, but a lot of are obviously different.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do a song, a duet with Corey, for example, his fans hear me and my fans hear him. It's such a simple thing
yeah.
that
yeah.
nobody else does.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are starting to do it more now, for sure. But I think that that would be successful in radio as well, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny. You actually
yeah.
touched on our big golden points that we talk about on the podcast in general, is that collaboration, cross-promotion with artists is basically the way to go.
So easy.
Yeah, it's so easy, and you're dipping into each other's fan. It's like word of mouth, but instead of your friend, it's a trusted artist, basically saying, I like this person, and I'd like you to hear them too.
Right.
And then the whole idea of radio comes last, you build up a fan base online and work your way to radio, which it sounds like you accidentally did.
I did.
It's like, I'm doing it online, then radio came to you.
Yeah, I can't even take credit for thinking that through.
A
lot of things I stumbled upon as accident, and then I kind of just realized that that was smart to accidentally do that.
Now, did you ever find when, you know, you started your social media sites, did you ever find, like, as you were doing this stuff, did you ever think, man, like, my numbers aren't growing, or you've just got into a little bit of a lull, or, like, what do I have, like, what do I got to do? And because we hear that a lot from musicians as well. They get in a tough spot, and they have a hard time. And I was just curious if, you know, you ever ran into those, because with the numbers you have, well, you have 20,000 on Facebook now?
20,000
likes? That's amazing. So
thank you.
For people that may be at a lower number and are having a hard time, just curious to know if you ever went through those.
It's actually funny you bring that up, because YouTube constantly is changing their algorithms and their programs and the way that they deliver their videos to fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, right now, I would say, is my lull. We can release a video to YouTube in the same format that we've always been doing, but we constantly have to do, I say we have, I've actually got a team in LA that helps me do all this, and I can't take full credit for it, but, so we're constantly figuring out the way to do it and how to keep up with those changes, because my numbers are down right now because YouTube just changed again, so we have to just constantly rework that because, fans aren't seeing it anymore.
It's kind of like the Facebook thing when it used to be you posted and all your followers would see it.
Yeah.
And then the timeline came in and they changed it up.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, I guess, a bit of a creative and almost like this sort of technological analysis thing you kind of have to mash together to figure out.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating to go through that. So I can completely relate to all those other people that are saying, well, you know, I'm not getting Facebook and I'm not getting Twitter and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens to everybody, whether you're Carrie Underwood or me kind of thing. She's going to have a lull in her videos too. And you kind of have to find to what, obviously, this is kind of goes without saying, but you have to find what people like. And, you know, even if you love something and you really believe in it and you release it, unfortunately, it might not be what the fans want to hear.
Yeah.
And if you try something different, it's a huge risk, but it could be very beneficial because, for example, I did a Starships cover by Nicki Minaj, and we did it country. It was acoustic. And I thought, why am I doing this? I was like, because I like this song and I listen to more music than just country. And so I would like to, I think it's a good song. I think it's catchy and I think it's fun and cool. And I'd like to introduce country listeners to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mindset that I frequently have in why I release some of the songs that I do. But with Starships, a lot of people are like, why did you do this? Like, that was really dumb. And then, you know, 500,000-600,000 views later, people don't think it's so dumb anymore.
Yeah.
So it's always a gamble anytime you release a song.
Yeah. But you have to take a risk.
You do.
You can't just stay in the same pattern.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And that's why when it's interesting to hear like the constant thinking outside of the box or trying to come up with strategies to, you know, fix a lull, as you put it, online or whatever, because like we're saying, we have people that talk to us and say, I don't know what to do. People aren't clicking like. I'm putting up content. I don't know, you know, what else do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about just putting content up and waiting for people. And that's something Rue is always talking about.
Yeah.
It's find what the people that you do have, what they like. It's the collaborations. It's working with other musicians or
and
artists or whoever.
Actually replying when people talk to you rather than just saying, oh, that's good.
Is that
something
you...
Constantly. I try to reply to every message.
Yeah.
I don't reply to every comment, but I do read just about every YouTube comment that I ever
get. That's
crazy. I mean, it's hard to keep up because you just get more and more content and then you have to keep going back. But on my new video, like we just released a video the other day. It was a cover by The Fray called How to Save a Life. And I've read every comment except for the ones that probably happened in the last, 20 minutes? but I think that's a really good way, not even just interacting and letting the fans know that you care, but actually learning from those comments mm-hmm. what they like and what they don't and why. Mm-hmm. So that's why, if anyone is listening that is a fan or has a YouTube account, that's why I really appreciate the comments that are like, I loved the emotion in this song. And I loved that you did a stripped down version of this with just a piano instead of the song sucks. It's not better than the original. Because how does that help me? It doesn't. Yeah. I can't make better music for you if you just trash it.
Yeah,
so.
You just dump all over it.
Do you have a process for... Because there's sort of a social media overload that people get. Because if you have Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, just those three, not counting anything else, and you have a constant flow of people talking to you, it can get overwhelming.
Yeah.
Do you have a process? Do you wake up in the morning and spend a certain amount of time dealing with it and then get away from it? Or is it like through the day? Do you just keep checking?
It's a little bit of both, actually. Yeah. I definitely, whenever I wake up in the morning, I hit snooze like 46 times. And then I just kind of, I do take a couple minutes and just lay in bed and I check my Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Those are the main ones for me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Pledge Music as well. I make sure that that's all updated
right
now.
Yeah.
And just take a couple minutes and make sure that that's all good and that I reply to what makes sense to reply to and that kind of thing. And then kind of just throughout the day, when everyone else is just checking their Facebook, seeing what else is new, I'm, you know, replying to fans.
Mm-hmm.
I also try to, if I'm going back to what Amber said about traveling, if I have a little bit of time, if I'm, as long as I'm not flying, but if I'm driving somewhere, usually I have like a road manager type person with me and they'll be driving because they know the details. And so I'll be sitting shotgun with not a whole lot to do. So I'll just send a tweet that says, hey guys, I have an hour. What are you doing? Or let's talk about my Pledge Music campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the latest video. Let's talk about this, that. Or even just sometimes it's just as vague as I'll answer the next 10 questions.
Yeah.
And then immediately... just a flood of people because they know that you're going to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more, when you do respond to them, they'll tweet you again. So that just creates more and more movement and that's what you really want.
And that's really good advice for musicians because...
just respond, it's easy.
Responding and just taking the time because like we said, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm putting up my song and my video and no one's paying attention. That's not what it's about and that's constantly what Rue is telling people. You have to be engaging.
Yeah.
And interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I respond to a good rule that all of us in my little YouTube team, I guess, at Keep Your Soul, that all of us are supposed to follow anyway. It's more of a suggestion, but I do follow it, is we are supposed to respond to every single day, 7 days a week, the current video and some old video. Not an old video, but just one that's not current. Anyone.
Yeah.
It can be a different one every time, but always the current video. At least one comment, because that way it shows up in your YouTube news feed as well. So that's just something.
That's smart. And then you also keep up on older material that you might not be paying attention to, but could be going up by like 20, 30, 100 views a day just because people are still checking it out.
Exactly. And, it, you know, a lot of times I'm just like, I'll just look through the side, the suggestions on the side, and I'll be like, oh, this one hasn't got as much TLC in a little bit, so let's give it a boost. Or, you know, the next day I'll be like, oh, Blake Shelton released another single, so I'm going to comment on my Sure Be Cool If You Did cover, or, you know, that kind of thing. So, and it can be originals that I comment on, too. It doesn't have to be covers all the time. So there's a lot of different little tips and tricks, but that's the...
I think it's safe to say that you are a firm believer in the... social media support for an artist.
Yeah.
And and the future of musicians. I think we did a podcast recently where we got some opinions from some Will.i.am and his kind of his team about the future of music. And one person said that it's the gap between musicians and the fans is going to shrink even more. It's already shrunk quite a bit with social media, but even more it's going to get. It's going to get that much smaller. So it's interesting to have someone like yourself on our podcast actually talking about social media and being the way that it started you rather than
the way
being
they
you know, oh, I got signed, so I guess I should figure this out. So it's I think it's a really cool inspirational thing and any indie musicians should listen. And we're going to list not only in the show notes Jess Moskaluk's social media sites, but you know where you can find you, but just some really cool, just all the numbers and really interesting stuff.
Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at @Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.